I think it's important, as Tom said, we've been out for a year now. We've been back in Italy for 1 year. And I want just introduce you, me to you a little bit. But when I think about my testimony of salvation, I really think that God, I can say that God is at work even through unbelievers. You will find unbelievable something, a statement like this, but the Lord has been working in my life even through unbelievers. I was born and raised in Rome, and I was one of those people who did not really care about God. I didn't care. I was trying to flee as far as possible from God. I didn't want to hear about religion, any kind of religion. And this for 24 years. I was very proud of being an atheist, or to consider myself an atheist. But I was not that strong. I want to say I was not that strong. In fact, since I was a small kid, a little kid, I realized my mortality, how frail I was. And growing up, this became a kind of obsession. I was obsessed about dying. I was scared about dying. And it got worse when, growing up, my mother, I was 13 years old, my mother tried to take her life during a difficult time of depression for her. And I found her at home a very painful scene to see. Your mother in her blood. And I thought she was dead, and the first thing that I did before this scene, I blasphemed the name of God. I just cursed the name of God, and I flee because I thought she's dead. But she was saved. The doctors were able to save her through a long surgery, and they all said, this has been a miracle. But as I just told you, I didn't believe in miracles. But God reached me through two unbelievers. I grew up, my crisis, my anxiety, my panic due to my fear of dying was growing, was increasing. And you can't believe it, but here God reached me through two unbelievers. I was forced to go to a psychologist because we didn't know how to fix me. All the people were saying, "But you got everything, Lucio. You should be very happy." And I was not happy. I was desperate. And so I began attending this psychologist, secular psychologist. He was not a Christian. You know, I want you to know, I come from a non-Christian background, just people who my parents were going to church sometimes, once, twice a year, and they wanted me to go to church, and I said, "Why? You're not going to church. You want me to go to church?" I mean, it didn't work. But I still remember I was before this psychologist, and we were talking, he was answering, he was giving me some suggestions, and at a certain point he stopped. He said, "Lucio, do you believe in God?" Psychologist asking me if I believe in God. I mean, that was a strange question. And I said, "No." And he said, "That may be a problem." You know, and I still have a memory, a very clear memory about this fact. And you can believe it, but the Lord used, in the midst of this long personal crisis during 1990, he used my best friend to call me to salvation. And I want to tell you that I'm convinced today that I don't think this man that the Lord used in my life to save me is a believer. I don't think this man is a believer because it's been now more than 10 years, almost 20 years, that he has been far away from the Lord. The last time that I met him in Rome, he told me, "Lucio, I don't even believe that the Bible is the Word of God." He tried to take his life 3 times. He got divorced. He messed it up, everything. But he was very clear about the gospel. And this is amazing to me. And this is why I'm saying that mission is God at work. Because God was working. And he was so clear in giving me the gospel, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on my behalf on the cross to pay for my sins. And he saw, because that was going on for a few months, he saw that I was not able to really make any decisions. I was desperate, but I didn't want to live my former life. I didn't want to live my sin. I loved too much my sin, my many sins. And one day he saw me. He said, "Lucho, you are going to hell, and you deserve it." Wow. And the Lord used this strong statement to make me realize that I was going to hell. I knew I was a sinner. So it was probably an evening during November 90 that I asked for forgiveness for my sins, and I asked the Lord to rebuild my life completely. I open a parenthesis. How important it is to talk about hell in mission? How important? What do you think it would happen if we cease to talk and preach hell? What do you think it would happen? What happened with mission if we cease talking about hell? Mission ends, stops. So make sure you are supporting missionaries who are preaching the right message. No? This is an important thing. I know by experience how important it is to be clear. Sometimes we have the impression we are impolite if we talk about hell. It's necessary. They need to be saved from hell first. And then they need to know the Lord, to grow in Christ, to become perfect in Christ. But this is the starting point. And I'm very much aware that God reached me exactly where he wanted me when he wanted and called me to serve him. I can tell you that since I was saved, I could not think of doing anything else than preaching the gospel. So I went to, the Lord brought me to a Bible school for 3 years in Rome. It was there that I met Christina, and we were married in 1998. We served for 6 years in my former church in Rome, former evangelical church. And after that, the Lord called me to a further time of preparation here in the States, and we were so blessed to get to know you and to be part of Grace Church and the TMS. And at the end of these 4 years, very painful years, some of you remember my face. You were always trying to encourage me. Lucio, be encouraged. The Lord will be faithful in your life, and he has been faithful. But anyway, at the end of these 4 years, we became GMI missionaries, and we were convinced that the Lord was calling us to go back to Italy and plant a new church in Rome. We knew the great need for biblical sound churches, model churches in Italy. There are just a few believers. We knew about the importance of faithful preaching, about expository preaching. There are no men prepared, pastors prepared to do that. We knew the great need for leaders, a new generation of leaders, godly leaders. Many, many pastors, many elders in the Italian churches are not spiritually qualified to be elders and pastors. So we knew that, and it seemed natural to me to go back to Rome, since I was born and raised there, and plant a new church. But I can tell you, this has been the last year has been the most difficult year for us. We went through many difficulties. We were not able to meet the budget. When we left, we were at 70%. We couldn't afford Rome. Rome was so expensive. So we were trying to look for a place to live there. And we, the more we looked for a place, and the more we realized that the door was shut, was closed. we were attacked by believers, by our friends, by our spiritual fathers, by our spiritual sons. I'm not going into too many details, but our reputation was assaulted. And we couldn't do anything about that. Just a painful, painful experience. The most painful, I think, in Christian life, when the people that you consider friends are against you. And at the end of these 2 months, very busy months, we ended up living in the in a completely forgotten village of about 400 people, a few dogs, probably cats, chickens, which is not exactly what we were hoping when we thought about our mission and our Rome church plant. Maybe some of you remember this beautiful video that we showed about Rome, all these beautiful images from the helicopter about Rome. And we ended up living there. We felt confused. We felt humiliated. We felt to be losers. What's going on? And during this confusing time in October, many of you know that my mother-in-law had this terrible accident. She fell down the stairs and she broke her neck. And after 1 month in the hospital, she died. She passed away. She went to be with the Lord, and this is great. But another very, very painful situation. And I know that Tom and Mark Curry, during that time, you were trying to get in touch with us through Skype. And I think the Lord, in His wisdom, didn't allow that because we were probably a little bit discouraged. Probably it wouldn't be that encouraging to you to see us during that time. But we thank you so much for your prayers, for your faithful prayers. Now, in the midst of all this, God was at work. There is a big but here. And we know the but in the Bible are very important, even in our lives, even in our ministries. Because God was working, and he had a completely different plan for us. Completely different plan. He was orchestrating a very beautiful and better plan for us. All the things that we were planning or dreaming on having in Rome in maybe 30 years, because we know that it takes a long time, even longer in Italy, the Lord has provided for us in the ministry, in the city where we are now ministering. It's amazing. And I'm going to show you a PowerPoint, some pictures, because I think that this is the best way for you to realize what the Lord is doing in Italy. So, I want you to see this PowerPoint, and I will explain you. But during this time, during this very painful time, very confusing time, the Lord wanted us to be connected with this church, the same in central Italy, a little bit northern than Rome, with a pastor, with a family that we already knew. I knew them since my conversion. I didn't know that we were so like-minded about doctrine, about the ministry. I didn't know that they, as a church, they were praying for 4 years. They've been praying for 4 years to have an Italian pastor there. I didn't know that. But the Lord knew it. And He was preparing us. He was preparing them to, you know, for us to join this church. And in fact, it was in March that they voted as a church, and they were all unanimous to say, yes, we would like Lucio and his family to be here, to be part of our ministry, and Lucio to be the Italian pastor of the church. So, let's see. A few pictures I will explain to you. This is my family. This is these are our kids, Rebecca and David and Mattia. Let me introduce you to the city. Perugia is the city. It's a beautiful, one of the oldest cities in Italy. It's a very beautiful city, about 200,000 people, not big as Rome. But a beautiful city up on a hill, all around a beautiful countryside. The region, it's called Umbria, and it's called the Green Umbria because there is much green. Now, a very interesting thing about this city, which I didn't know, is this. And Fred Whitman, the pastor, the pastor who gave birth to this church that you'll see, he told me that the last evangelical Italian pastor that he was ministering in Perugia, he was killed at the beginning of the 4th century after death during the persecutions of a Roman emperor called Diocletian. And he said to me, "Lucio, you are the next Italian pastor called to preach the gospel in Perugia." It is not that there are no absolutely churches, evangelical churches in the area, even if they are few, but it is that the fact that throughout all these centuries, there was no pastor, a pastor called, like we mean to be called by God to preach the gospel, to be full-time and do this. So it's a tremendous privilege, but also you can also pray for my wife that she won't be a widow soon. This is the downtown, the main square, huge buildings. This is the street where all the men look for girls and the girls look for men. Beautiful stores. The first settlement of this city, Perugia, was established in the 11th century BC. You can imagine during the reign of King Saul. And then the Etruscan came, they built, during the 3rd century BC, they built the wall. And then the Romans came and they rebuilt the wall, like you said, a very huge wall. Perugia is home for this very important chocolate factory called Perugina. Maybe some of you know Perugina, the Baci Perugina. This is a big chunk of chocolate. During the month of October, people come to Perugia, artists, come to Perugia and they do sculptures with all these big pieces of chocolate. And then, in the end, the people can eat the whole piece. No. But Perugia is also home for 70,000 university students. This is the university for foreigners. Very important city. Fred Whitman, I'll talk more about it, but Fred Whitman and his son, the assistant pastor, they have not been able through the years to really improve this ministry because they've been so busy with other ministries of the church. But this is why Massimo and Susanna Mollica, they are coming from Grace Church to partner with us and to, of course, learn the language, but be involved in this student ministry, which has a great potential. Perugia is also home for one of the most famous jazz festival in the world. It's called Umbria Jazz, for those of you who know a little bit about jazz music. Every July, there are a couple of weeks that people are great players coming from all over the places. They play on the streets, they play on clubs. And that was an opportunity for the pastor, Fred Whitman, to translate for gospel groups from America and to preach the gospel to the crowds on the street and in the squares. So a great opportunity even for us in the future. This is the region of Umbria. It's a beautiful region, as I told you. We are still in Italy. You can see they did this nice thing with the trees. This is Umbria, right? At the heart of Italy. A small region. There are probably 1 million people living in the whole area. Perugia, you can see Perugia up there. But most of the cities that you can see in this map, and there are many, many more, they don't have an evangelical church. So there is a great potential to plant other churches. The amazing thing about the ministry that we have joined is that there is a radio ministry, and the radio ministry has been going on for 30 years. So they have been able pretty much to reach out the whole area and to prepare the hearts of many people. So We are convinced that there is a great potential to plant churches, to plant other churches in these cities that don't have any church. Much green. Beautiful. This is Assisi, where St. Francis came from. This is the view from Perugia. This is the monastery in Assisi. Most of the villages look like this, all in stone, very old, remodeled, very beautiful. I don't know if you like ancient buildings. Anyway, there are many like this. I wanted to introduce you to our partners. This is the Whitman family. You can see right at the center, Fred and Rachel Whitman. They have been ministering in Italy for 38 years. I can tell you, this guy, he's a short guy, but he's a very tough guy. And this is the only way to survive in Italy as a missionary. As I told you last year, Italy is known to be the graveyard of missionaries. 95% of missionaries, they quit their ministry by the first 4 or 5 years. And they've been ministering there faithfully, keeping high the ministry, keeping high the word of God for 38 years. So now we are, you can see there are four kids, there are four children with their wives and husband. All their kids, they wanted to serve the Lord in Italy. And they are serving the Lord in Italy. Not only, but all their kids, which are Americans, but they say, we are Italians. We feel to be Italians. And we love the Italians. And I can tell you, we can see it in their attitude. Jonathan, he's the assistant pastor. He's a godly man, a very good friend of mine. I would say that until 4 or 5 years ago, when he came back from the States where he studied, where he had a study at seminary, the church was made of about 50, 60 people. After he came over, he took care of the youth of the... He became the pastor, the youth pastor. The church doubled. Now, today, the church is 130 people. And this is why he's a discipler. He's doing the same thing that they are doing in Malawi, in the church in Malawi. He's been taking care, especially of the men and these young guys. And what happened is that not only they were saved, but they recognized the importance of reaching out people. So many young people, they began inviting to church their friends. They were not ashamed of their church, even if, as you will see, it's a kind of industrial building, known to be an industrial building, but they were just reaching out their friends. They have been reaching out their friends very, very faithfully. Massimo and Susanna Mollica, there will be a sending off on Sunday, the 29th, end of August, during the evening service here. They are coming on September 9th, the 9th. Dan and Elizabeth, Dan is the man of the radio. It's a very important ministry. They are already putting on the air the Grace to You ministry in English and Grace to You ministry in Spanish. Now we need to work on the Grace to You in Italian. So pray for this ministry. I'm already preaching on the radio pretty much once a month, answering tough questions that the listeners ask. It's a great opportunity. Most of the Catholics, they will never come to our church, but they are listening to this radio they've been listening for years to this radio. And this is the church. This is a Christmas service, Sunday morning. This is an Easter service. The hall is packed. We have also a choir. It's not like here, but we're doing better and better. The family, this Whitman family, they all play instruments. So we have been enjoying very much the music ministry. Me preaching, you can pray for a pulpit. We don't have it yet, but there's still room for improvement. Me teaching, there is a preaching first hour, a teaching second hour, more theological. This is the first class on an Old Testament survey. Fred Whitman has been praying that we will be able to have a training center within the church. So he has prayed and he said, let's try to start with one class, Old Testament survey. He said he was expecting a couple of people, maybe three, maybe four. 25 people came. Most of them are young people. There is eagerness to learn about the Bible, many opportunities to reach out and to help people, to minister to people. This is Christina, one of the responsible of the Sunday school classes. There are many more kids than what you see now. These are the baptisms. We had 9 baptisms last April. They gave all wonderful testimony of their salvation. But I want to just tell you about one man, and the fact, just to tell you that the Lord is at work. His name is Giovanni, and his brother's name is Andrea. This man, this family, 3 brothers with their parents, they used to live in Rome. They were all Catholics. And one day, Andrea, the one who was more convinced about being Catholic, he said, "How can I become a better Catholic?" And he decided to start reading the Bible. He never read the Bible before. So he began reading the Bible, and he realized that there is all that he was taught was not there. He began searching on the internet about the Reformation, the Martin Luther and Calvin, and he was saved through this search. And so he talked to his brother Giovanni, and Giovanni believed this, and he was saved too. Now they are working with their brother Enzo, who has not come to faith yet, but he's very close. And in 2005, they moved to Perugia. They have a very successful business with Mac computers. And one day they were driving with a car, and they saw the sign, Centro Evangelico Battista. Wow, this is a Baptist church. We need to understand if this is a Reformed church. They failed. Their search failed in Rome. They were not able to find any Reformed church in Rome. So they entered the church Sunday morning. They were kind of shy, looking around, scared. They seated down, and they listened to the sermon, and they were convinced by the Lord that this is the church that preaches the sound doctrine. So this is only one story about what the Lord is doing in Italy. God is at work. Raffaele, he's in jail. He has been in jail for 15 years now. He's I think 37 years old. When he was about in his 20s, he used to live in Naples. He comes from Naples. He was part of the mafia. And he killed a few people. And this is why he's in jail. And he has 2 or 3 more years to go. But he was saved. He came to Christ in jail through the ministry of this pastor, Fred Whitman, which is a very unique thing, because usually only the priests, the Catholic priests, are allowed to go into prisons and minister there and be the chaplains. So he wanted my documents, my personal ID, because he wanted me now to be involved with this prison ministry too. The facilities, you can see, this is an industrial building. It's big, it's huge. We have now rented half of the building to another business because we are still paying the loan. But we hope that soon we will be able to ask these people, this other business, to leave and use the old building for our ministry. This is the TV ministry. Every Sunday morning, TV channel, local TV channel, they come to church, they film the service and the sermon, and they put 10-minute pieces every day on their channel, which is there in Perugia, on the TV. So people are watching us through this channel. And many people came to church, even recently, because they saw, they listened to the word on the TV. It's another amazing opportunity. Some people come to me, they say, "I saw you on the TV." And I have never seen this program yet, because we have been all just commuting. We don't live in Perugia yet. We will be there in September. The radio ministry, as I told you, great opportunity. We are planning on extending the potentiality to reach out other areas. These are 2 converted nuns. After 40 years in the Catholic Church, by reading the Bible, the Mother Superior over there, Christiana, she realized, like Andrea, all that I've been taught is not here. And they were saved in Florence. And now they were telling their testimony of salvation on the radio. Powerful testimony of salvation. After 4 years, they lost everything. They left the Catholic Church. They lost their house. They lost their, you know, money. But the Lord has been taking care of them. And they are having a great, great impact in Italy. This is our home Bible study. My mother, the blonde lady, my cousin. We have been trying to reach out people even in our small village. We will continue to do that in Perugia. This is the soccer outreach, a great way to witness to many people. This man here with a green shirt, he played with Brazil for many, many years. His name is Zé Maria, if you know him. He played as a professional soccer in Italy, even with a Perugia team. So he's very much beloved. And he quit his career. He's now too old, let's say. He's 37. Sorry. For a soccer player. They wanted to live in Perugia because they felt so great in the church. So they wanted to... They're now in Perugia, and they will be ministering with us. Please continue to pray for us and come visit us. No? Doesn't want to continue on? Okay. You can pray for the establishing of the church. You can pray for our ministries, expository preaching, leadership development, church planting, radio ministry, TV ministry, evangelism to university students. Our new prayer card will be on... We'll be on campus with us next Sunday if you want to grab one. Just a conclusion. I stress that the mission is God at work. And in my testimony, I stress the fact that God can do his work even through unbelievers, which is amazing. But this confirms that God is God and no one can frustrate his plan. I hope that you have been able to see the Lord working in Italy. This is an amazing thing. I don't know of any other church in Italy with all these ministries that the Lord is blessing in this way, really. And so, what is your role in all this? How can you be supporters of God's work in Italy? And you know, I want to say more very sincerely, I do not know the specific role that God has for you, for each one of you. I think you have the exciting task to figure it out with the Lord, to discover it from Him. But this is what I want to say just in conclusion. If you think that we represent what you believe, if you think that we represent what is precious, what is important to you, if you think that we are representing what you have been entrusted with in a place where you can come, in a place where you can speak the language, I think you can join our team and work with God and with us from here. Remember what Hudson Taylor said, there is a living God, He has spoken in the Bible, He means what He says, and He will do all that He has promised, even in Italy. So, if you join our team, you're not going to be a loser. It's encouraging. It's encouraging, no? We're not losers. We're not losers. God already won. Thank you again. Thank you so much for your time. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy to each one of us. You have saved us. Called us to salvation, to have fellowship with the Father and Christ. We are so blessed. Thank you that we are part now of the body of Christ. And Lord, we want to work with you as you work throughout the world. Thank you for this great opportunity to have all the missionary families here on campus. Please touch our hearts according to your plan for each one of us. Make us realize the impact that we can make by partnering with our ministry in Italy, or the ministry in Malawi, the ministry in Geneva, or many other ministries. Continue to build us in Christ. Continue to make us perfect in Christ, because this is the joy of our salvation, to belong to you, to be transformed to in Christ's likeness. And bless each one of these their very dear brothers and sisters today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.